Okay, well, so far in our series on the gospel presentation of Two Ways to Live, we've started with the gospel. That is the big news, the big news item of the resurrection. But then we've worked backwards from there. So the resurrection of Jesus is the gospel, is the great news that the apostles always announce. But it assumes his death, his atoning death, that in his death he conquered death, having paid for human rebellion. But the atoning death of Jesus assumes God's judgment, that God is just and pays people for what they do, including their rebellion against him, because God's judgment assumes human rebellion, that we all turn away from God's rule and prefer to run our own lives our own way. But this human rebellion also has an assumption, and it's an assumption of the Creator, that our life, well, it's not our life, it's not our own, because it's actually made by God to be lived God's way. It's God's life that he's given to us. Today, instead of going backwards, we're going to go forwards from the gospel news of the resurrection into the response, into the last picture down in the bottom right-hand corner. For the gospel of the resurrection requires a response. Now, the way we naturally live is to reject God as ruler, to live our own way. And with that come the consequences that we're damaged by our rebellion, as we damage other people and as we face death and judgment. All that we saw back under the subject of rebellion in the second page. But if we respond to the gospel of the resurrection, then we live God's new way. And that new way of living means to submit to Jesus as our ruler, to rely upon Jesus' death and resurrection. And that also has consequences, the consequences that we're forgiven by God and given a new and eternal life. The Bible verse that captures the alternatives is John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So let's go back to the gospel of the resurrection before we look at the responses. Jesus has risen from the dead. That's physically come back to life again. But this means more than a single man has beaten death. For the three elements of it, you can see in this sentence I've got. Jesus, by death and resurrection, commences the resurrection judgment, becoming the judge and ruler and Lord of the universe. I'll take the ideas in turn. The fundamental news is that what has happened is, firstly, Jesus, by death and resurrection, determines what will happen in the future to everybody. That's why it's a gospel. His death was not like any other death, because he died as an atonement for the sins of the whole world. So we read in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He died as a representative and substitute for us, the sinless for the sinful, the sinless one in the place of the sinful many. And the verse we use is Two Ways to Live is, we all like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In his death, Jesus paid fully for our rebellion against our Creator. Thus, death couldn't hold him. The effectiveness of Jesus' death in paying for the sins is demonstrated by his resurrection. As Paul wrote again to the Corinthians, if Christ hasn't been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins, because Christ has been raised, overcoming it. You can also see it in Hebrews 9. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, which is the verse we use on judgment. But look at the next verse. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. So in rising from the dead, Jesus, secondly, commences the resurrection judgment. But the Old Testament expected the general resurrection when all people would rise from the dead, some to life, some to condemnation. The gospel is not simply that Jesus has risen, but that in Jesus, the resurrection has commenced. We begin the resurrection. In Jesus' resurrection, the beginning of the judgment of the world has started, and more. By his resurrection, thirdly, he's becoming the judge, the ruler, and the Lord of the universe. Two ways to live, put it this way. God raised Jesus to life again as the ruler and judge of the world. Jesus has conquered death, now brings forgiveness and new life, and will return in glory. Jesus spoke of the resurrection, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he's given him," that is the Son, "authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." The resurrection means that Jesus is your Lord. He's the one that God has appointed as Lord and ruler, the judge of the living and the dead. And so he's your Lord, whoever you are, because he is the Lord. You might want to say to me, "But no, Philip, maybe he's your Lord, but he's not my Lord." Well, I can agree with you about that, that you're not serving him as Lord if I knew you better. But I want to assure you that he is your Lord, whether you serve him or not, whether you acknowledge him or not. He is still your Lord because he's died and risen and is now appointed as the ruler of the world, the ruler of the present, the ruler of the future. You may not want to serve him as your Lord, but when you come face to face with him in glory, you'll have no choice but to bow your knee and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. And of course, then it'll be too late for you to be saved by him, because you've rejected him and his work of salvation. You've lived in that rebellion as his enemy, and so you'll face his condemnation. It's because he is the Lord of the living and the dead that we should give our life to acknowledging him as Lord. Now, it's madness to know who's in control, whom I'm answerable to, who will be my eternal judge, and then live as if he doesn't exist. Living my own way is living in rebellion against him, living in defiance of his lordship. But how, you may ask, how do I acknowledge him as Lord? Well, the answer is twofold. By repentance and submission. Repentance doesn't mean feel sorry. Repentance means a real change of mind that issues in a change in direction. I used to play cricket, but then I repented. I decided to give it up. And I really did. So I threw away my cricket boots. I gave away my cricket bat. I put my cricket clothes into a charity box. None of these individual actions is repentance. Repentance was the change of mind, the decision that led me to doing those individual actions. If you're living your own life your own way, to repent is to say, "Stop, enough. I'm not doing this anymore. From now on, I'm going to live for Jesus, his way, instead of for me, my way." And so by repentance, we also mean submission. We submit our lives to him, seeking to serve him, seeking to bring glory to him, seeking to find out what he wants that we may do it. And the great news of those who repent and have Jesus as Lord, the great news is that Jesus is not only the Lord, but he's also the Saviour. Jesus is the Saviour of whoever trusts in him. Meeting the judge is an awful experience if you're guilty, especially if you're guilty of rejecting him, the judge, and rebelling against him. But this judge is different. He's paid the penalty for us already. He's already died in our place. This judge doesn't just talk of love. He loved us enough to die for us. And so he became the Saviour of all who acknowledge him as Lord. I either live in rebellion against him or in submission to him. There are only two ways to live. His resurrection makes all of life binary. You're either for him or against him. So think of that verse again. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. But if you're for him, notice the benefits that come from his death and his resurrection. As it says in Two Ways to Live, Jesus has conquered death, now brings forgiveness and new life, and will return in glory. This is God's new way for us to live, but it requires us to trust Jesus and his death for us. We need to put our hope in Jesus, that when he comes to the day of judgment, when we come to the day of judgment, either in our death or the end of the world, that when we come to the day of judgment, that we will find forgiveness and mercy because our sins have been fully paid for. That we find Jesus turning aside the wrath that we deserve. I don't stand on my own two feet. I'm not claiming to be good. I'm not claiming to be better than you. I admit my willful sinfulness. I admit my rebellion against my Creator and God, but I trust Jesus has paid the penalty for me and know that God is no longer angry with me. To become a Christian is therefore to submit to the Lord Jesus and to trust the Saviour, Jesus. That's how Two Ways to Live puts it. God's new way, submit to Jesus as our ruler, rely or trust upon Jesus' death and resurrection. And so we're forgiven by God and given a new and eternal life. We all know the old way, but have you changed to God's new way? It's very simple. It's just a matter of prayer and reality, of course. I told you earlier, in 1959, I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1969, I made some promises to a beautiful young lady. I promised to love her for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death let us part. I then went my home and she went back to her home and we've never talked to each other since. Well, no, of course not. That's not how you do it, is it? What I did was put those words into reality. We immediately left our parental homes and joined in our new home together. And we've been living out our promises ever since. So also with Christ. You commit your life to him as your Lord and Saviour by the words of prayer. But it's more than words. If you mean what you say, you start living out your decision. You put those words of prayer into action. So look with me once more at the Two Ways to Live prayer that comes at the end of this presentation. I've prayed it each week for the last 5 weeks, and so again will today. And invite you to pray it with me again. You see, it addresses God by acknowledging our sinfulness, our rebellion. That first paragraph of it's all about me and all about what's wrong with me. I'm not worthy to be accepted by God any more than you are. I don't deserve your God's gift of eternal life, and I'm guilty of rebelling against him and ignoring him. I am someone who needs forgiveness. So do you. What can we do about it? Well, we don't do anything because God's done it for us. So the second part of the prayer is about thanking God. Thank you for sending your son to die for me, that I may be forgiven. And thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. That's what is the consequence of living God's new way, isn't it? Forgiveness and a new life. It comes from Jesus' death and resurrection. That's why we thank God for it. But the last bit is the prayer of the prayer. Please forgive me. I need forgiveness. Jesus died that I may be forgiven. Please forgive me. And change me. I don't want to go on living as a rebel against God. Jesus has risen from the dead. He must be my Lord now. So please change me that I may live with Jesus as my King, as my Lord, as my ruler. That's what being a Christian is. We know what it is to be married because we go to weddings and we watch what people are promising. And then we see how they live it out. We know what it is to be a Christian when we see people praying a prayer like this and then changing their whole lives to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray it again out loud, and I invite you to pray it along with me in your own mind. If you're a Christian, you'll be happy to pray it every day of the week. If you want to become a Christian, then this is what you need to be praying with me. So let's pray. Dear God, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Jesus as my Saviour and Lord. Amen. And if that is your prayer, you will be saved. How do I know that? Because Jesus died to save you. And you will be changed. How do I know that? Because Jesus isn't dead. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. And if you want him to change you, he certainly will.